97.3. 0845 6060 973.
Back to the world of duck houses and bell towers, brackets allegedly closed brackets, in a moment or two. On to other stories and how to calm down, the course of anger in the classroom. Pupils will be sent on anger management courses. A consultation document published by the Department for Children, Schools and Families proposes giving head teachers greater powers to place unruly pupils in off-site behavioural units. Schools would be forced to set out the number of days pupils will attend courses and outline proposals to reintegrate them into lessons. Money from the scheme would come from the school's budget. So, as I hear from you many times, as you will be aware, my children are now both left school, they're at university. The classroom is sometimes, unfortunately, almost a battlefield. The way to solve all of this is, well, to give the children anger management classes. What about a little bit of discipline? What might they actually learn? How would you give a child, treat a child, if that's what it's called, to an anger management course? David Woolson is an anger management therapist. He's from angerplanet.co.uk. Joins me now. Is this a good idea, Mr. Woolson?
Good morning, Nick. It's absolutely a good idea. It's something I already do, and I'm passionately committed to it.
Where do you do it?
I've worked in a number of London schools, inner city schools.
And do they fund themselves, or is this a government, separate government initiative?
No, this has been funded by the schools, where individuals in the schools, deputy heads or pastoral, people in charge of pastoral care, have had the imagination, if you like, and the vision to try and find a different way to deal with some of these kids in the schools who really... creating problems.
What sort of age group children are we talking about?
We're talking mainly early teens, between 13 to 16, 17.
Okay. What do you do? Give me an example. Obviously, I wouldn't expect a name, but tell me about a young man or woman who seems to have anger issues. How does he or she exhibit them?
Well, they do it in different ways. I mean, it's usually that they usually play out in the classrooms, anger and feelings that they're carrying from their upbringing, to be honest. And what you find with these children is they encounter, if you like, a clash of values, the values that they may have had or not had at home, and the values that the school and society then asks them to abide by. And they get very confused because they're brought up to behave in one way, and then the school says behave in another way or think in another way.
But what do you mean? Give me an example so my listeners can get their head around this. Well, give me an example.
Okay, this one little chap I worked with, and he had the most absolutely terrible, terrible upbringing, and I have to be careful about confidentiality.
Yeah, of course. But no, I don't want a name, don't worry.
No, sure, but in a sense, I just have to be careful with that. And for him, violence and rudeness and abuse and unpredictability was a way of life.
Right.
And his default position when challenged on anything was to move immediately to violence. And this child was semi-literate at the age of 13 or 14. Yet when I went into work with him and he sat down and we sat down one-to-one and we started to talk, he opened up like the most rich and incredible, with the most rich and incredible awareness of himself and the issues that he had to deal with. And I was both very humbled and moved by it, and I felt angry myself and frustrated at the idea that I only had the limits of, if you like, a 10-week course with him to really...
How did you feel enriched?
Because these children have so much to offer, Nick. They have so much to offer. When you sit down with them one-to-one and really start to talk to them in a serious way, they open up...
They're tearing the classroom apart and punching the teachers. What they need is a bit of discipline.
Well, I don't disagree with that either, and actually I feel very sorry for the teachers. I'd hate to be a teacher in that situation. But this discipline is one side of the equation, and imposed discipline from the school is one side of the equation. The other side of the equation is the conflict that goes on within these children around themselves. They invariably suffer from very low self-esteem.
Right.
And they invariably are confused between the values they've learnt at home and the values that they're asked to stick to at school. But that gets very, very confusing.
You talk about lack of predictability. You couldn't have something more predictable than a school. You arrive every morning at 8:30, you do 7 or 8 or however many is, 9 lessons, you have lunch in the middle, you have playtime either end, and then you go home at 3:45. I mean, you couldn't have it. It's like being in the army. It couldn't be more regulated.
Well, my experience of the schools that I've worked in, as I said, I feel very great compassion for the teachers because so much of what they have to do is contain. And what I've witnessed is they make incredible efforts, but actually they don't have the time to really get down and do the work with the most needy kids. And remember, when you're talking about kids who are angry in school and acting out, problem kids, change the word from problem to needy, and then you start thinking in a different way.
All right. Well, let's put it into effect. I appreciate I'm no longer in the classroom, but I do have a temper, and you could ask the team I work for. Unfortunately, sure. I do have a temper. It's probably by dint of having spent my entire life working in tabloid newsrooms, which is a fairly full-on, robust, macho place. So I can lose my temper. Now, how are you going to work with me?
Well, I would invite you to come along and do some work with me, Nick.
But what are you going to tell me? I shout at people. I've had an instance today. I can't use the language, but I came in this morning and something that I wanted done in a certain way palpably had failed. People had not carried out the most basic instructions. Somebody who should have been phoned at 3:30 in the afternoon was phoned at 6 o'clock at night and they were amazed they were no longer. So I went absolutely... I've got to watch my language. I went absolutely crazy. Right, now what's wrong with that? And start shouting at people. Because I tell you what, it won't happen again for a couple of weeks. Now what's wrong with that?
Well, it's abusive, Nick, frankly.
It's not abusive. They failed and they needed to be told.
Well, I get angry too. Anyone who doesn't get angry isn't a human being. You know, anger's a normal human emotion.
Right.
But when I get angry, I have a whole load of feelings that go with the anger.
Right. Well, angry at them because they failed, so I give them a good spray. What's wrong with that? Shouting?
Well, what I'm saying is that when I'm angry, or when you're angry, there will be other feelings that go along with that anger.
No, just anger.
Well, that's something, you know, we would need to explore in more length.
But what else do I feel? I'm angry because they failed to do a simple instruction.
Okay.
It's not as if I've asked for the Prime Minister sitting opposite me in a leotard and tutu and a funny hat. I've asked for someone to be phoned at 3 o'clock and it's not happened and it's shoddily well happened, so they get a hello when I come in. Now, what's wrong with that? And then I feel better.
One of the things when they're charged up, and I'm hearing you're charged up about this, it's just fair enough, is they don't listen.
What do you mean they don't listen? I couldn't have made it more transparent what I wanted. And they didn't do it. I feel better. You see, I won't get an ulcer. I won't get a heart attack. I won't get stress because my fury was passed on with a little bit extra on top to someone else.
Sure, sure. And the way you make yourself feel better is by making someone else feel small.
No, they've learned. They've learned a little.
In a level relationship.
It's not a level relationship.
It's not a level relationship.
No, they work for me. Of course it's not level. I tell them what to do. They do it. What's level about that?
Okay. Well, the way...
How can it be level? I mean, if you use an example, you know, I'm the senior officer and they're the ratings. They've got to do it, right? So it can't be level. We can't sit around and say, ooh, I don't know, should we talk about bathrooms? Yes, we're going to talk about bathrooms. If you don't like it, go and work elsewhere. It's simple. That's how I do it.
Nick, it's very simple. When people are this angry, a lot of them want to make themselves feel bigger by making other people
couldn't be any
feel
bigger.
Smaller. That's the dynamic there. And that's a choice about how some people want to lead their life. It's very simple. When I get angry, and it's always a lot of work, and I admit that, I don't get any kicks anymore from making other people feel small through my anger. So I'll find what I would call a level way rather than a persecutory way.
It's not feeling small. No, David, you're not getting it. What it is ensuring it doesn't happen again. I'm not trying to belittle the people. I couldn't give a stuff about it. I just want them to know that I'm angry and I never want it to happen again. That's why you have to shout.
Okay, so say to them, I'm angry with you because you didn't deliver and what I'd like you to do is deliver on time.
Yeah, but you've got to add a bit of topspin to that.
Haven't you?
I mean, there's no point in just saying it. Well, it's too nice. They don't learn.
Actually, Nick, there's a difference between being abusive and being assertive. What I've found and all my clients find is they make the same confusion that you're making, that in order to get things done, I need to cause in other people feelings of smallness, feelings of fear.
A bit of fear. Not smallness.
I wouldn't humiliate anybody, but you do.
No, I just tell you.
But shouting and stamping your feet, particularly from a position of authority, it has a certain effect on people. And what I challenge you is to take on the idea that you can actually be assertive and ask for what you want in a level way.
Yeah, but it doesn't happen.
And to listen...
But what if it doesn't happen?
Well, I'm telling you, it does. And the
There's no point shouting at me, losing your temper with me.
It's also a question of choices.
You're in anger management. What's happened here? Sorry, go on.
It's also a question of choices. What kind of environment do I want to create? How do I actually want to operate in the world? And what kind of person do I want to be? Do I want to be the kind of person who enacts on other people in this way? Or is there another way of doing it?
I just want somebody, when I come in, somebody who's done what I've told them to do. It's as simple as that. Great speaking with you, David Wilson. Anger management therapist from AngerPlanet, or oneword.co.uk. News follows this.
On the tube.
At a party.
In a cab.
On Oxford Street.
On the Thames.
On a bike.
Because sore throats don't stay at home, Strepsils now comes in a handy tube. Get that soothing Strepsils relief anytime, anywhere. Strepsils Cool Handy Tube. First aid for sore throats. Always read the label.